You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, it's Wednesday the 18th of November 2020. This is SBS On The Money. I'm Ricardo Gonçalves and it's coming to you live from the SBS newsroom. It's a big day in business and finance, but later we're seeing an improvement in gender diversity on company boards. We'll explore that in more detail with the Australian Institute of Company Directors. But first to Crown, and in a major blow for the company, the New South Wales gaming regulator has asked it to delay the opening of its new Barangaroo gaming operations in light of concerns about its suitability to run the casino. It's meant to open in about 6 weeks' time. The gaming regulator wants the company to wait until it hands down its final report in February following its inquiry into the company. Now, we didn't hear from Crown after the decision or immediately after the markets closed. And with a quick comment, here is Shaw and Partners analyst Adam Dawes.
It is a real setback. This was a jewel in the crown, as it were, for Crown. And it really was their flagship product or their flagship resort, their casino, to sort of bring it into the sort of the year 2000s and longer. So this is definitely going to be a setback.
Yeah, that happened late this afternoon and Crown shares did enter a trading halt in the middle of the day, shares closing down 0.6%. And it came on the day where the Australian share market rose, the S&P ASX 200 up by 0.51% to 6,531. That is its highest level since February the 27th. The banks led the market higher, especially the Commonwealth Bank up by 2.9%, although resource stocks fell, BHP off by 0.5%. And for the more of the day's action, here is Adam Dawes from Shaw and Partners. Adam, the market is up today. Why?
I think people are getting a little bit more used to potentially that this COVID virus is going to finish. Plus also we're seeing a lot of the value stocks, which aren't the tech stocks, but the value stocks starting to move, which is oil, banking, and potentially all of the boring ones now actually starting to move. And that's what I think our markets are very, very famous for. So that's why I think the market's up today.
So like you just touched on, investors are looking to this positive news on the vaccine. But what about the rising number of coronavirus cases around the world? There seems to be quite a bit of optimism from the market. So is that optimism warranted?
Look, I think we've always had that sort of two-speed economy slash market. The market's always forward-looking. The economy's always backward-looking. And that's sort of where we are at the moment. You know, the market's always thinking that there is going to be an antidote. There's always going to be something going forward where the economy is playing catch up. And we're certainly seeing that economy playing that catch up with unemployment numbers, high numbers of infections, and the worry about what's going on. But yeah, the market seems to be moving forward. And I think, we'll continue to see this sort of buffer starting to move within our market. And obviously, we've seen the Dow Jones reaching all-time highs. I think that's certainly perfect for that as well.
Can we go more into that shift that you were talking about? We've seen that shift from, I guess, growth stocks to value stocks, those stocks that were hit hard during the pandemic, like the shopping mall owners. So that's continuing today?
Yeah, look, it certainly is. And you've seen Unibail Rodamco. The stock's been up over 50% over the last coming couple of days. Now, that's the old Westfield, but it's the European, it's the Australian side of things. That's absolutely moving as well. We've seen Centre Group, which is the Australian version of that, also moving. Stockland, Vicinity Centres. It's that sort of reinflation trade or that trade where things are going to get back to normal. So people are starting to invest in those sectors at the moment.
Some stock-specific news today. Firstly, poker machine maker Aristocrat. What can you tell me?
Look, Aristocrat actually doubled its annual net profit to $1.4 billion, and that was really thanks to a recognition of a $1.1 billion deferred tax assessment. So that kept its coffers overflowing despite coronavirus or COVID-19. Basically, they did do very, very well, and it's really that online gambling that they've really done very well in. Obviously, poker machines haven't done well, but it's the online side of things going. Revenue fell, but really, at the end of the day, it's that tax issue that has done very well for Aristocrat. The stock was sold down early today, but then has been bought up all day long, and I think it's a fantastic business.
Adam Dawes there from Shaw and Partners. And speaking of market gains, if you've accessed your superannuation during the COVID-19 driven market sell-off earlier this year, you may have missed out on the recent recovery in the share market. After a dip in September, super funds added 0.5% to the median growth fund in October. That's according to Chant West. And while returns over the past 12 months remain slightly negative, down 0.4%, a longer seven-year view shows returns as still close to 7%. In other corporate news today, Virgin Australia, its new CEO, Jane Hrdlicka, started today. And that comes after one day after Bain Capital officially acquired the airline. Now, she's confirmed the airline will target the middle market and has launched a strategic review of its business class offering with some lounges to close. With more, here is the new CEO of Virgin Australia, Jane Hrdlicka.
The relaunch for us is really important to get the foundations right. We've had the benefit of administration to fix some challenges in our cost structure. We've still got quite a lot of work to do, frankly, in keeping our costs down and continuing to simplify across our business. But we're really excited if we can get borders open, we can get back the flying that enables our people to come back to work. And that's the most important thing to us at this point. For our travelers, the experience will be exactly the same as it has been in the past. Our people shine. We have three choices in terms of how you travel. You can travel in economy, you can travel in economy X with a bit more legroom, or you can choose to travel in business class to treat yourself. And we're going to make it sure that all of those experiences are the very best we can offer, and we're looking forward to getting everybody back in the air.
Jane Hrdlicka there, the new CEO of Virgin Australia. And of course, Qantas celebrated its 100th birthday on Monday. Now, finally, to gender diversity on boards of Australia's largest listed companies, it is improving. The Australian Institute of Company Directors says female directorships on ASX 200 firms rose to just over 32%. And that's an increase of more than 2% compared with this time last year. There's a greater representation at our biggest listed companies at 36%. So with more, I spoke earlier with the AICD's General Manager of Advocacy, Louise Petchler. Louise, how would you describe the level of female participation or representation on ASX 200 boards?
We've been really pleased at the AICD to see the increase in gender diversity around the boardrooms of Australia's biggest companies. At 32.1%, the representation of women at those board tables is the highest it's ever been. And it's a real change in the past 5 years. It was 5 years ago that we called for a 30% minimum threshold of women sitting around board tables. And at that point, the figure was 20.6%. So to see that change in that short period of time has been really, really positive.
I know we talk about it every time we have this sort of an interview, but what's the benefits of having gender diversity on boards?
The ASCD really believes very strongly in the business case for gender diversity and greater diversity around board tables in general. We believe that the decision-making and that collective consideration of and judgment that's required by boards will be much more effective if there is a diversity of views and experiences around the table. That's not to discount the need for boards, of course, to have the skills and experience that are necessary for their particular organisation and for their governance role. So that's absolutely a given. Now, there's also just a really important common sense view in terms of gender representation. You don't want to limit access to the talent that you have sitting around your pool to just half the population.
What's your message, though, to those organisations that still don't have adequate representation?
One of the striking things about the change in gender diversity on Australian boards has been really the leadership of large companies. So our largest listed companies, the ASX 20, are getting close to nudging 40% of gender representation. It's a really significant shift to global leaders in terms of gender representation around the board table. And we are really pleased to see that diversity message is spreading across a larger range of companies. We have 76 companies in the ASX 200 that are one appointment away from achieving the 30% minimum threshold. So this really is a big shift amongst our largest listed companies towards greater gender diversity We're really confident that we'll continue to see that move led by the leadership of the very large companies on the index.
And I know this is more about gender diversity, but what about diversity in general? Because surely there must be more work to be done when it comes to, I guess, experience, cultural diversity on boards, and perhaps even age.
These are really important questions, and we do see these questions reflected in terms of community expectations. They want to see that boards are challenging and holding management to account with the kinds of perspectives that reflect the broader community's concerns. So absolutely, diversity of experience, diversity of background, cultural diversity are important considerations. But boards, of course, need to be driven by, first and foremost, the skills and experience that are required for them to complete their governance role effectively.
That is Louise Pechta there from the Australian Institute of Company Directors. And that is SBS on the Money for this Wednesday. I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Business Ricardo. See you soon.
This SBS on the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.